is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Joanne.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I am okay. What about you?
I am fine, thank you. Joanne, I have just two little questions or comments to make. Might not be a popular one. Joanne, honestly, when I listen to the calling program, it is almost coming over as though the country is being attacked as a group of persons who are on I'm almost thinking that if it was a child, we'd be carried before the human rights thing for child abuse. The constant badgering of persons not doing this, maybe we have one or two persons who may not be conforming to the requirements of the physical distancing. However, are we doing enough to ensure that persons are constantly reminded of the requirements to comply with the physical distancing? I agree that nowadays we tend to go towards the use of social media and the electronic mode of communication. I believe if you look at a lot of the bunching, it is among the more senior persons that are gathering at these places that we are constantly highlighting, which is the supermarket mainly, and now the post office, where they're trying to get their pension. I believe also that some persons are forgetting that there are several persons in this country who live on and below the poverty line. They live what we call in Barbados from paycheck to paycheck. Pensioners live from pension check to pension check. Welfare recipients live from welfare check to welfare check. As a result, you would have a quantum of persons who would have need for those necessities that they would need in their homes for them to survive, probably on a daily basis with their other commitments that they will have. These are times that are unusual. The whole world has been placed in a state of on an uncharted path. Obviously, we are dealing with situations and circumstances that are not normal. We cannot create situations and then turn around and bash the people for the situations that we created. You would look back and would recall that most of this kind of panic that we are having was created after the country was almost shut down at short notice. Now, I beg your indulgence. I am not bashing any government. I'm not bashing anyone. I'm just trying to look at the events as they occur. And I would believe if we all look at the situation, we would recognize that persons obviously went into a panic because the way the information was flowing, that one day it was this thing, the next day it was another thing. Obviously, we were dealing with a fluid situation and the information was changing fast. Persons went into uncertainty. And having been placed in a state of uncertainty, obviously, survival instinct kicks in. Why should we continue to bash them? What we need to do is return to some of those basic modes of communication where either the police or those people who have the radios, where you can mount a bullhorn. In the earlier days when politicians wanted to appeal to their constituents, they used to put a bullhorn on top of the vehicle and they used to drive through the various tenantry roads into the various villages and they would announce their offerings to the people. Why can't we have the same? Even at the supermarket, why can't the supermarket owner, engage someone who will be responsible with a bullhorn to remind the person gathering there to maintain the physical distance. When people are left alone and not reminded of their responsibility, sometimes they lose focus on what they should be focusing on. I would also recommend that the time has come that we need to recommend that every person be wearing a mask. It is said that this thing is spread through the droplets that come out when we speak, when we sneeze, and that sort of thing. Then if we wear a mask, then we will be containing most of those droplets from going into the atmosphere and floating around. I believe that is something that we should speedily look at and introduce it into the country.
Can I say something before you go on? I agree. The bullhorn system you're talking about, in today's world, it's called a public address system. And I'm sure these supermarkets should be able to put some sort of speaker outside to speak to the their customers. However, if they're not doing it, if the supermarket person is asking them, because I'm pretty much sure there were people coming outside asking people to please space out. But because there were so many of them, it was a little too late to make the request, because you have to back, back and back, back, and with a line that is snaking all around a building and down the street. So my argument is, instead of doing that, why not just have people present, like the police or the BDF, when you come, you find them there. So you're forced then to comply, as opposed to wait for it to happen, to bundle up, and then have to tell them to space out.
But what I'm thinking is, and I heard the Prime Minister acting, I think she indicated that it is the responsibility of the supermarket owners to maintain the order on their premises. As a result, I dare say they are trying to reduce their outlay, and as a result, they might not want to pay for the police services or the defense force services or their private security services. But I believe they can probably utilize one of their own employees to be out there from the beginning, so that maybe your objective and mine can be achieved, that the persons are constantly, one, from the beginning that they arrive, they're told, and they are almost guided as to how far back they're supposed to stand. And that person is like patrolling that line constantly. And with their horn, when they get to be a lot of people, then they can use their public address system to reinforce the message. I believe we are both on the same wavelength, and I support your suggestion. It's just that I believe persons are trying to minimize their cost right now, and as a result, they might not want to enter into new hire. But I believe there are ways by which this can be changed.
Let me ask you something. If that's the case, about, let's just say we put a PA system outside of the supermarket or bullhorn, and you come in and you get a ticket. If you're driving, you get a ticket. If you were walking to the supermarket, you get a ticket. The security is out there to ensure that those who walk into the supermarket, no cars, and took a bus. The tickets, you see the ticketing system. You get a ticket.
Right.
Which means that when your ticket is called, you and your car sitting down, safe. The other persons now who took a bus in, they are now in an area where they are spaced out, waiting for their number to be called. Even if you just do that, you can forget the whole ID card thing and so on and so forth.
I know one credit union already have introduced that there when they were open. The persons were gathering and bunching at the door. And what they did is they issued each person a ticket as they arrived and reminded them to maintain the safe distance.
The ticket number was called,
and when they come to those tickets, they were allowed to come in, and they were directed to whichever service they needed.
Thank you. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We need to put in then a ticketing system we could look at that, I should say, because I can't tell people what to do, but hopefully some consideration would be given to this ticketing system where you will wait. And I think I would feel safer in my car waiting, and persons who have to walk in now, a tent or something, you know, just stand a safe distance and away from each other until your number is called.
Ticket so the person knows you're the number that was called.
Yeah, and you were then given a specific amount of time to be in the supermarket, though, because you don't want to be there now for 2 hours and people waiting to get in. So you still give them a timeline and say, look, you have 45 minutes, each shopper, to come in and get to the cashier and get out.
I agree with you.
Already,
I saw it work at the City of Bridgetown Credit Union where a ticketing system was introduced, and the persons were served, and they complied and was happy to work with it.
Do you know, was it so weird? I remember, because we do a commuter advocacy program, and we'd recommended a ticketing system very similar to what the credit union does, so that people can pull a ticket. It just says which destination, Bathsheba, wherever. So then the transport board would know exactly how many people waiting for what bus. So if there's no one waiting for, say, the Eden Lodge bus or whatever, and about 50 people waiting for Bathsheba, you send the Bathsheba bus.
Somewhere else.
Exactly. So you see this ticketing system, and I got that concept by just looking at how the credit union did theirs.
Right.
So, because the credit union will tell you, you kind of press the button and you go like, okay, do you want a teller, a loan? They have an idea what you are waiting outside for. If you use a ticketing system now, which is just a numbering system, nothing to do with what you're waiting for, because obviously you're there to get groceries.
Yeah.
Just do the ticketing system, give them the tickets, and put the bullhorn out there, as you said, or a PA system. And we're now servicing ticket number 1 to 50. 1-8,
you're
whatever.
We're,
and as two people come out,
the same page.
Another two can go in.
There.
Father, Lord, you know, if we can do this, we would not have such a hard time.
Work very well. I believe it can be replicated.
All right. Well, I hear you, and I want to thank you.
One last thing I have for you.
Sure.
That is relative to the economic fallout that we are going to experience from this. And I'm wondering what government, I believe they are considering it and probably would be working towards how we are going to restart the country. Obviously, our economy is very interlocked. Tourism not lick up, small farmers going to get hit because they can't supply the hotels, they can't supply, they can't get the spin-off from the hotel workers buying their vegetables. The small hairdresser who probably depended on the hotel workers and various persons to come and get their services, the hotel workers not working, their business gone down. How are we going to restart this country relative to small businesses? What funding would there be to assist those persons in regenerating economic activity in this country?
But can I say this? When we are finished, when we get through the whole COVID exercise, I don't know how long. It could take 6 months. It could take a year. The whole thing about the economy, in my opinion, that we are all in the same hole. Every country.
Yeah.
So they can't really be, in other words, who do we actually owe in the end if everybody is in the same hole? In other words, we can't owe aliens. And I believe that the IMF and the World Bank and so on, there's going to have to be some level of debt forgiveness. There's going to be a reset. I think it's actually going to be, and I don't know if people may agree with me, but you can actually see the light at the end of this tunnel if it really goes down to pick it back up. There's no government that can tax its way out of, because there's no debt to that extent. So you would be able to restart the economy by probably getting a fresh page, capital works projects, etc. You can't pass on debt that you don't have to your people. You normally do that if you are in big debt. So I think that there may be a level of debt forgiveness. There will have to be. I can't see the IMF coming down on one country and not the other for money. So you can't come down on anybody realistically. It's going to have to be a reset and a fresh start in a lot of things. And I think that's what's going to happen for most of the world. We're all in it together. There can't be then a special arrangement for one country and somebody else gets something different and so on and so forth, because it won't seem to be fair. I don't know if you agree. We have a full board and it's 17 minutes after one, so I'm hoping that we can get in all of the calls. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joanne. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine. I like to hear your voice. Listen, I hear everybody calling about you old people with the pension,
mm-hmm.
right? Are you old too? And listen, my pension is going to the credit union, and I can't get my money. So I would like to know if any credit union will be able to open so that I could get my pension too. What all I hear people talking about is the old people at the post office. You got old people at credit union, like the money going through the credit union. And I hear a boy talking about the bank should open, credit union should open for people to get the money, and I ain't getting the money. I can't.
So you have a card though, right?
I don't have a card, but it learned me a lesson now that when things back to normal.
You're going to go and get a card. Okay.
So, what happened with those brand of people? But them is old people too. Why is old people too?
Well, that's why you call, because you're calling to represent those that don't go to the post office that get their checks to the credit union.
Right. So am I going to the credit union and I can't get mine? So I want the people to say when the credit union should open for old people to get the pension. Well, you don't only got old people that belong to the post office. You got old people that belong to the credit union banks that the money going through there when they want the money. Well, I can't get my money neither.
I think one of the things I noticed too in some of these lanes where they're pensioners, and how come no one is volunteering in the family. Well, let me rephrase that. I won't say no one, but I would like to see more younger persons volunteering to change the pension checks for their grandparents or something. Needless to say, we do understand that sometimes where pensioners may have a check, there are some individuals who may not be as trustworthy as others.
Right. Let me give an experience that I had a long, long time before any king come in the country. A Friday morning, I was and Baxter Road by Jordan Supermarket about minutes to 8 o'clock. And an old lady come down the bus. And I actually get out the bus there by Jordan by bus stop. She asked me what today is. I tell she today is Friday. So she went to Jordan to get her pension check changed. And she come back with and tell me to tell she that the check is to change the money. That was a long time before anything come out here. That was a long time. So I asked if she ain't got an old and the grandchildren, the boy one. She tell me, boy, I got your grandchildren home and I used to get your pension check to change and they used to bring back what they like for me.
Oh, dear.
But even who in the house, the thing. But I come up with an idea that I know it may not work, but I can still put it out there to ease the old people that going to the post office.
Okay, let's hear it.
Right. Now, each postman in his district know all the old people that he's supposed to carry pension check to, right? Mm-hmm. So a way that they can change the money in their $100 bills, get the pension, the postman will got a certain amount of check that he know he got to out in his area, got the same amount of money, if you feel it, can along a security guard or, I mean,
you mean the police, in this case?
The police or an army man, and deliver the money straight to the old people at home. People had a couple that
I actually like that. I think that's a good idea.
But you go carry pension check to people home. Well, you can carry money to people home, you see everywhere.
But they have to sign for it. They have to sign at least, you know, to say they received it. You sign something.
Right, tell them something to sign that.
Well, you still got to make sure you distance yourself because you don't want the old person to get sick. But again, I can't see it being more risky than what is happening. No. They're out there, they're catching the bus, they're in long lines.
Right.
You know, so I think that is a fantastic idea.
Let the postman tell them a receipt, but like when you stand there and you tear off one and he got one to carry back in, you start to carry back in, came in that this body received, and the body got the other part to receive that. You old people.
And they go with a police escort or a member of the BDF or something to make sure that it's done safely.
Come to where, line up in the line, or come out in the way. There's more than one way to get around things.
No, you see, this is why I love this program.
Right.
Because there's so many good... No, because people have good ideas.
Right.
And I hope people are... And I'm sure people are listening. You know, and I think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's even way better than everything. Actually, that's probably better than anything I heard pertaining to getting the pensions.
Well,
if you're going to change it at the post office, you might as well just let the postman bring it to you.
Brent,
because they know where you are and let them claim for it.
You are, Brent, to you. Change that $100 bill, Brent, to you. Bring on somebody, escorting or writing loans so he got enough. The criminals won't attack all the postman. Bring on a receipt book.
Mm-hmm.
You get the money.
Mm-hmm.
Or did they even put the money in a brown envelope in there,
mm-hmm.
Inside of there, and then
mm-hmm.
seal it. And then when you hand the person, then if the defeat it, and trust you, when you get the money to go up in there in front of you,
mm-hmm.
you sign a receipt book that where you then receive the money, he bring back in his stud, and then got the thing, and problem solved.
Well, let's see if someone bites on that idea. The powers that be.
Problem solved. Putting the board people have come and what one thing is happening in life. Problem solved.
Yeah, I like that. I think that could work.
Right.
That could work.
Yeah, he got all the pension check there in the post office. He put them there on the table, and he went with Miss Brown to get $100. He got Miss Brown check. He put the $100 in a brown envelope or whatever, seal it. Put it on there, do the next one, guess it. Oh, he will bring out the telephone bill or the light bill, and when he get to Miss Brown's house, he tell Miss Brown, well, there, your pension, there's your money, and sign this book here, he bring back in the study and give she the thing that she received the pension.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he know all of the old people. Nobody old people have come and lined up in the line, that problem solved.
Well, let's see, we got about, 40 minutes to go, so... Let's see if someone responds in a favorable way, or you never know, by next week, it may be the thing to do. And I want to thank you, because I think it's a fantastic idea, sir. I really do. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
You need to turn off your radio.
40 minutes to go.
Hello?
Hi.
I'm calling in connection with people that say that they know who come in between the dead, but my son...
No. They didn't say they don't know. Let me rephrase that. They figured that this is a faster way of getting them to just check in with the ministry.
But listen, but they do know, because people from the ministry, like nurses from the polyclinic, came to my home
mm-hmm.
for my son. So in that, they didn't know who come in on them days.
Your son came in between the 15th and the 22nd of March?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So did he contact who he needed to contact? Again?
At that time, we didn't hear it on the radio, but the day before, the day before, the nurses come into our neighborhood and ask for him, and they come and talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
So ain't that they didn't know who...
But I didn't get the... But that's the thing. We just wanted clarification. I think people just wanted clarification, and I believe we got the clarification.
They know the people that came in.
But let's just say that they might not have gotten one or two, and they just decided to put the full notice out without calling names. You see, sometimes out of 100 people, you might be just missing two. But instead of calling 100 names, because you want to protect the patients, or possible patients, I should say, you just did a general notice by asking them to contact the ministry. But what you're saying to me now is, even prior to that notice, the Ministry of Health went out to your son to check on him, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, there is no need for people to be concerned. I think that they're just doubling up
and
making sure that everything is safe, or safe as can be.
And not only that, I tell him, boy, you got to stand in this house for 2 weeks.
Oh, you know, he didn't stand in for 2 weeks when he came in?
Yeah.
But how much time it is now between the 22nd and now today's what, the 9th?
His 2 weeks up, 19th, the 27th,
mm-hmm.
would be. 19th to the 27th.
2 weeks up, yeah.
Right.
And he stayed in the house?
Yeah.
All right. And he's doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, and that's good news.
I have the age if I let he go and run boat and come in, he could go boat and bring his in, because I have the age. And that
mm-hmm.
age, I'm 70.
So, and he was definitely on a flight from U.S. or U.K. coming in on those
yeah.
dates. On the 19th, he came in?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Was he asked to quarantine at the time, but he just quarantined on his own?
Well, didn't tell he, but I tell he.
Okay, but apparently when he came in the 19th, you see, the policy went into place on the 22nd.
Yeah.
So it was just before people came in, and they probably, that was not communicated, but it was communicated to passengers on the 22nd going forward now. So, but I'm glad to hear that he's good. I'm glad to hear that you're good. And how are you spending your days? Are you okay with the staying inside?
Okay, I try to stay inside. Like, I got another grandson that if I want anything, I will let he do it.
All right, so you've got family there that helpful and supportive. I think that's fantastic.
Yes.
Well, at least that's good news that someone living in your home traveled around that time and he's okay. All right, well, thanks very much, and I'm glad that that contact was made with him.
Yes.
Thanks so much, and continue to be safe. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 128. You are on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Ms. Hicks.
Good afternoon.
I am calling because this is the second week that I have been extremely distressed by what I'm seeing happening to Barbadians. I listened to part of the program earlier, and we had the same problem with the elderly. Now, first of all, let me deal with the post office, because part of my problem is the fact that we've closed down banks, credit unions, and supermarkets, etc. You have heard many people talk about the merits of having those stay open. But let me deal with the post office and the elderly, because it hurts me to see that the very people that we've been asking the public to protect and to protect themselves are forced to go out there. What we have in the lines are not only the people who traditionally check their, cash their checks at the post office, but for those persons who cash their checks and not have them deposited in the bank and the credit union, they have been forced to go and stand in line. And you're talking about people over 65 years old, you know, and persons in and I don't need to go through the CNCDs that people have, hypertension, diabetes, and all of these things that are very prevalent in our society. So we have pushed people by closing the financial institution to go and stand in line. And I asked the question, did not anybody, and I heard the acting prime minister say she consulted widely when she did her last presentation. Did none of those persons with whom she consult not anticipate this? So you start by reducing the hours of the post office and then wonder why people are standing there and looking at the whole question of failure to socially distance. I don't know the configurations of diverse locations, etc., but it hurts my heart to see this happening. If in fact, and I didn't even mention the people who will go to a supermarket and as part of a transaction to purchase groceries would also use a check. And therefore, I would hope, because I anticipate that we will have an extension of this lockdown, that they will revert to the opening of financial institutions, because it is creating a lot of havoc. I'm only touching on the old people and the supermarkets. Now, we have people who are physically challenged, who do not have relatives, who do not have, I know in one case I got a call about a gentleman today who normally gets somebody to transport him to the bike, but the person's car is not working. That person does not necessarily have a permit to take anybody anywhere. And so I think that in coming up with these complex recommendations, and I will speak if I have the time to say something about the grocery shopping as well. So you are forcing people who, in the normal scheme of things, as I say, would have gone to up to three or four or five different options, now to go to post offices and restrict the times. I think one of your first-time callers dealt very nicely with how we could allocate alphabetically. But let me say something quickly now about the supermarket. First of all, these convoluted things about calling in orders and filling orders, it sounds nice, and I think that a lot of young people who are so-called technology-driven, don't deal with the realities of this country. Let me give you an example of the supermarket. I know my supermarket because I've been shopping there for decades. So when I go into the supermarket, I can do in 10 minutes what somebody who does not know the layout of that supermarket can do. if we have supermarkets open, regular hours, even limited hours, and people going, we will not have the bunching that we saw. We had the bunching that we saw because people were saying, oh, we don't know when they're going to open again, or they're not going to open before the 15th. And that came about because there was one set of instructions given, and then they were changed the next day and threw the whole country into panic. What I would love to dearly to see is a situation where we return to those institutions operating, where people are regulated, yes, but not in these strange, convoluted options about a prepackaged thing of $25. When I looked through some of those, I cringed because I said, here you have people who are diabetic, can't even get a piece of lettuce or a tomato now when prices are reasonable because of the dry season, but they're going to have to buy something with biscuits and corned beef and sardine. As you know, and so I think that people being able to exercise sensible choices, farmers being able to take their produce to the supermarket or wherever the people normally get them, and keep things as normal as possible while emphasizing manage what you have, stay away unless you have to. These are the reasons why, but don't say you have to do it this way within this time, forgetting, of course, that as you narrow the option, you're going to widen the queues. And it really is also creating a hotbed for the spread of the coronavirus. And I really hope that Barbadians will be given the opportunity to go back. I mean, I am amazed that people are saying, give an old person an ATM card. And I want to say something about that, too, because as a life member of BARP, which means I've been there for a long time because you can't get life members anymore. They don't offer that as an option anymore. Mm-hmm. Some of us, even when I was younger, I am nearsighted. I go into an ATM and the sun is coming in on that screen in a particular way. It is hell to read what's on there. I was robbed at an ATM, and that is another security issue. We start to make recommendations without thinking through what we are putting people through. A gentleman just called you about providing cash. That's madness. If I know that a postman or some special delivery from NIS is delivering cash, what am I going to do? A lot of our young people and older people now are in desperate times, and not only because of this, but people are desperate. Some people's values are different. So you don't want to go and put options in the place to create.
So don't you think that if someone wants to rob you, they know that you're a pensioner, they know when the check's coming out, the pensioners move in a way where, you know, they're kind of uniform in how they do it. I mean, if the pension check's coming on Monday by Tuesday.
Walking around with $20,000 in cash to deliver to 2,000 or whatever pensioners. You think that opens itself to greater risk. But the point I'm making, we don't even have to contemplate that if we allow the system to work in a way that, as I said, keeps things as much as close to normal as possible. Look at Trinidad and Tobago. Look at the Cayman Islands. Look at the UK. Look at the U.S. People are allowed to do certain things. I think what you need to do is to say you will do it. And the other thing is once people, you see, people got into this panic of stocking up and so on. But that will go away. But anytime you put these kind of artificial constraints in the way that they were done, you put the country in a panic mode for a lot of people. That is not to say, and this is the other side of it. My approach to this is I have stayed in my house for the duration of time because I try to do that. I look in my cupboard and I decide this is what I have and these are the meals that I can prepare. I don't have to have all the extra things, but that is me. Some people don't have the luxury of having items in their house over and beyond what they can buy, you know, from one pension check to the other. So this is one thing. If we keep it as close to normal as possible with certain kinds of requirements in place, Barbadians, by and large, are orderly. The authorities then would not have to be worrying about lines at 20 post offices or ex-supermarkets. They would be able to patrol the country in a way that allows for orderly conduct of business in scenarios that are close to normal as possible. And I think that is the critical thing. Right now, in the famous words of somebody in Barbados, we're not sure as a nation whether we're coming or going. And that is a very frightening thing for Barbados right now, ma'am.
Okay, can I just say this? In all honesty, we are dealing with a pandemic that we've never dealt with before. And obviously, it's new to a lot of people.
including the people who are guiding us, I'm sure everybody has some sort of level of anxiety and fear. I don't think it could be, you want to put it as normal as you possibly can, but we must admit that there's no normalcy to this. You know, there's no way we could do business as usual. I don't even think we could come that close.
To step in right there. I'm not suggesting business as usual. You see, this is where critical thinking becomes important and you understand the point I'm making. You have to control because you have a very devastating, dangerous virus that you're dealing with. You're dealing with a case where people are going to be normally anxious. And therefore, for the very reason that you're making that point, because you're anxious, you also want to control, do things in a way that people are feeling in control of those things that they can control, while at the same time putting in place measures. Now, I'm not saying that if a supermarket is opening or if you go to my credit union in Black Rock that you're going to go and bunch up. I heard a gentleman speak to you about my credit union just now and the rules that were there. People were observing that. People were observing it, et cetera. But if you go to a post office that is on a corner, such as the Eagle Hall post office, where people are trying to stand on a curb at a very busy area in terms of traffic, the distances are going to be a little more difficult because of the numbers. So I'm not saying that we're not dealing with what you're dealing, but I'm saying that there are ways in dealing with the unknown, with the difficult, with the dangerous, in ways that allow people to manage those things that they can manage and reduce the anxiety. Because if I don't think that I can get food next week or tomorrow is Good Friday, everything is going to be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Monday is a bank holiday, Sunday is a bank holiday. If you don't think that you're going to have food Monday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, well, Sunday, Saturday maybe, but you'll say, look, I don't want to risk Saturday. I'm going to rush up there on Thursday or whatever. What happens then is all of these things then start to reduce your options, to create a situation that is very different from what is normal. And so I hear your point, but you're missing the point I'm making.
No, I hear your point. I think you're missing mine because I don't think you've made a point to say what then should be done. What you're saying is things should be as normal as possible, but then explain then how close can we get to it.
Let me say what should be done because you obviously didn't hear. I said we, in the case of a thing like checks and financial services, that the institutions should be allowed to be open. I didn't say that they had to all be open at the same time or for the same amount of days because I didn't want to go into all the details, but I can do that now. Credit union,
you only got 2 minutes, though, but go on.
should be allowed to open. And open. But because then you shut everything, the gentleman who just called you and said, well, my pension is lodged at the credit union, he does not have an ATM card.
Mm-hmm.
He can't get any. But even if he did not have an ATM card, but the credit unions were and the banks were allowed to open even 3 days this week, he would have been able to go in there. Because, you see, the point I'm making is that in coming up with some of the very restricted arrangements, the planners, who the deputy prime minister said there was wide consultation, they did not anticipate or identify all of some of the, well, several of the critical variables that have to be factored into the planning equation.
But can I ask you something? Because based on you may have the answer because I don't. With the commercial banking, was that decision by the banks? Because that was not by the government, was it?
I think so in a part, but I also heard the head of the private sector who would have been part of the consultation call. He sat in meetings, consulted with him when I sat in another place. Say that some things are not working. And therefore, they would have looked at it, and perhaps they're now recognizing that it is not changing. And therefore, as with any strategic planning exercise,
mm-hmm.
having seen what transpired in the last couple, in the last week, I would hope that they would have changed. I can't say that they might have been consulted. I don't know if it was their final decision. But my point is that as we see this play out as a citizen, and as I watch this play out, what I am seeing is that those people, even if they took the decision, they did not factor in a number of variables which are now creating, for my mind, greater problems than mm-hmm. if people had the option of several days, even at short hours in the banks, the credit. We're talking about cashing checks and accessing funds right now. Mm-hmm. If that were the case, people would not have the kind of bunching and so on. Because what it is that If you had an ATM card, you could go to the ATM. If you had to go over the counter and withdraw savings because you didn't have a card, you can do that. If you wanted to go to the post office, you can do that. But right now, anybody who has been issued a pension check, and I'm only talking about pensioners receiving NIS checks and welfare benefits, because they also talked about cash and welfare benefits. Because the other problem is that if you are using a banking service, we have, and this makes the whole thing more complicated, we have a whole set of charges that a person who is living on a pension check that is maybe $1,200 a month, he or she is not going to have the kind of balances that the bank asks them to have, because they start paying $5, $10, or whatever, and so they're a little bit of
but
savings.
We got to kind of stick it there, but basically what you're saying in a nutshell is at least for the pensioners to be able to retrieve money is to allow for the financial institutions to open up. And my question to you, which we don't know the answer, was that a decision by government, or was that a decision that the commercial banks took to close? And maybe they should go back to the table.
No. I don't want to confuse the public and misrepresent what I said. I said, and this is what I mean by talking about as normal as possible. If the banks were opening, anybody who wants to do transactions, for example, yesterday I heard small business people talking about the difficulty of depositing checks, et cetera, trying to be able to pay wages or whatever. And that's where the notion of normalcy comes in. That if the institutions were operating, and I'm not saying they have to operate at the identical times and full range of services, but if they were operating, a number of the problems, including the issue of old age pensioners, would be addressed in a way.
Okay, I didn't say anything too different to what you're saying. All I'm saying is that if the institutions were open up, even if it wasn't every day, it would ease some of the pressure, basically. All I'm trying to tell you is, or ask the question, was that a decision by government or was that a decision by the commercial banks? Whatever it was, I believe that both entities open back at the banks.
That there was wide consultation, and this is what we have come up with. So I don't know. I can only assume, as I said, that the social partnership meet with government, government being the political directorate as well as senior public officers, I presume, and there's a discussion and an agreement. I may make a contribution, and you as the final arbiter may not take it on board. So I can't tell you what is the process. I can tell you what the outcomes have been. And I can critique the outcomes on the basis of the impact and the activities that flow from that.
Okay. Well, I do understand. And in all fairness to both entities, as I said, this is not this whole situation is one that we're all fighting our way through. And errors would be made. And it's good that people like yourself, you come and you present yourself and your ideas. And hopefully we can come up with better things and improve as we go along, because that's all we can do at this stage. Try things and make sure that if they don't work, we tweak them and we move forward and let us get out of this situation as fast as we possibly can. I just want to put this out there because it's a little, it's bothering me somewhat, because I got a couple of messages where people are saying about people who have politics at heart here first because of their political affiliation, they're going to come and they're going to put their side to it because of the whole politics. I think that is regrettable. I believe that we're in a situation that it has no mercy on any color, any religion, any political affiliation, and it's something called COVID-19 and it's killing people. So for those who may want to put on their political hat, I'm hoping that you don't. If that was your intention, for the persons who are messaging me about that, let's leave politics out of it. I'm hoping that we can. And let's work together to defeat this horrible, horrible virus. Because I have this thing where if you can't help me where things were not that bad and you couldn't give me advice and you couldn't help me out of a bind, I don't see how you could come and give advice and help me out of a bind when my situation is now worse. I won't bother to go into detail with that statement, but those who understand that statement would know exactly what I mean when people come and try to put things on the table as if they know. Sometimes you have to ask them. So when things were not that
that great, but it's not as bad as no. If you didn't help then, how could you help now? But anyway, let's move on. Down to brass tacks, you're on the air. Good afternoon, 149. Brass tacks, go ahead. You're on the air. I can hear you.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, Ms. Fig, how are you?
I am good. What about you?
I am good, too. Now, last time I spoke to you, I had spoken about the Clement Payne Freedom Park, and I wanted to look at that today, but now that the twist of the program, I want to take a look at two other things.
Okay, it's the Golden Square Freedom Park, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, can Cuban-trained dentists practice in Barbados?
I have no idea, sir.
Can Cuban-trained doctors practice in Barbados?
As I said, I believe I know where this is going. And if something did not happen before and one has to change it in order to facilitate something, I think that's what we should be looking at now.
I totally agree.
Good.
Can Cuban-trained nurses practice in Barbados?
Again, I will respond in the same way. Your next question.
Can Bajans go to Cuba and be treated by their physicians down there?
Again, I have no idea. Next question.
Well, I think that it is hypocritical to barrer the trained doctors from practicing here and the dentists and now accepting the nurses because that you're desperate.
I'm sorry, you said that. You think it's hypocritical? Okay. Mm-hmm. To do that?
Yes, okay. To do that.
And who would have come with this rule if it was such a policy?
Who would have?
Yeah, if it was a policy, how old is the policy? If it happens, a policy.
You was plain enough to tell me you don't know.
I don't know. I'm asking you. There's a question.
I don't know either.
Okay, well, then we could leave it at that. Seeing that we both don't know, but we have a situation where we can see some people now coming to help us, should we not just embrace that?
No, it is hypocritical to do it.
It's hypocritical to embrace people to come and help to save lives?
No, you are saying before, not any. The same lives that they can save now, they could have saved all along. Probably prevent it from happening.
Sir, honestly, what you're saying don't really make much sense. Look, we don't have much time left on the program. Make your point and let's move on, because I am a little off as to that statement.
I don't think that's no start today. Anyhow.
Well, you know what? It might have started 50 years ago. So on that note, you can take the next caller. Thank you so much for your usual contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Joyanne.
Good afternoon. What a nice way to kind of bring the program to a close.
Thank you. Yeah, I missed you, but we will talk.
That's all right.
Yeah. I am fine. I hope you are fine. I just want to make a suggestion. And I think people need to understand, because one day they too will be old and a senior citizen, hopefully. A lot of senior citizens are afraid of debit cards. I'm not, because I'm used to technology. I worked in it. I've known computers most of my work in life. I've worked on computers. But I know I have friends who won't go on the computer, can't use it, don't have debit cards, and prefer to go into the bank to deposit and withdraw money. Now, whether or not people have a debit card, there are going to either be long lines at the post office if they don't have direct deposit, or there are going to be long lines at our ATM machines. Either way, if they do have a debit card, because there are people there that will have other business to do besides depositing their pension checks. The ordinary citizen will have, like you said, merchants will be depositing money and withdrawing money, and they'll hold up the lines. They will. You will have to have police officers there. And this is a time to me that's like martial law. The government tells you to stay your butt in your house. If you're not a part of essential services, you stay your butt in your house. If you have to go out, they tell you social distancing. It's not for their sake, it's for our sake. Social distance. I don't know what is so difficult and why these callers keep coming up with all these assumptions that have nothing to do with common sense laws. These laws are here for a reason. I understand them, abide by them. Stay in your house. If you have no business on the street, stay in your house. If you have no business out after curfew, stay in your darn house. What is so difficult to understand about that? But when it comes to food now, you can't play with my food. Don't mess with Miss P when she's hungry. Okay? I like fruits and vegetables. The meat, the pork, and all that other toxic stuff, I could do without. But I need my vegetables and fruits every day. I am freaking out because I can't get a banana. But I ain't risking my life to go out there searching for one.
But I think that's a good way of putting it. I mean, it's true. You want the banana, you want your fruit, but you're not going to risk your life for it because a couple of days without fruit is not going to hurt you, but going out there and exposing yourself will kill you, can kill you.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's the main message that even our artists have come out of the woodworks to express in commercials. You've done it. Every moderator's done it. What part of that information and advice don't they understand?
Maybe we should say the opposite because it's a reverse psychology thing. I mean, you know, it's funny. After a possible storm, you tell people, okay, go to work. And then they would say, well, no, it's raining or it's too much rain and they don't go. Now you have a situation where you're saying stay home. They want to come out, and it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense.
They don't like themselves because I love it. You know, I don't like the fact that we're in the midst of a pandemic, but I like the fact that I don't hear loud noises at night. I sleep peacefully. Everything is okay because I understand the reason behind it. So there's nothing to rebel against. Because I understand it's for my own safety and for the safety of others.
Well, as we started the program, and I said, it's a war. Remember, I mean, even on my Facebook, I remember I said the war is on.
This is martial law.
It is. The war is on, but it's against this virus. And when you are fighting a war, there's going to be some sacrifices. It doesn't have to mean deaths. It just means that we need to change the way we do things. We need to hold it down for a bit. As you said, if you can't get the banana today, a few days without a banana ain't going to hurt. A few days without a sliced bread is not going to kill you. But if you go out there...
My grapes is not going to kill me.
Right. So if you go out there and you get sick and you get exposed, I mean, then we are all going... You probably might live through it. I don't know. We hope you do. But then this puts pressure now on everybody. The elderly, the young... The middle-aged persons, because no one can leave. Life cannot return to normal if people don't listen. That's the key. I said it earlier, there are no funerals, so all the funeral goers who figure every week they want to look in the paper to see who died, that's out. All those who want weddings, that's done. The baby showers, that's over. The hanging out at the block, that's done. The point is, if you want life to return to a sense of normalcy, good gosh, put yourself in a position where you have to sacrifice a few things, and then you can get back to normal. And that's all it is. People are just asking people to just stay quiet, stay put, just for a bit. That's all we're asking. So I want to thank you, Ms. B, and all of the callers, all of the listeners, all of you persons that are home right now listening to Brass Tacks, continue to be safe. This is a holy weekend, and God is great all the time. And I'm hopeful. I don't want to sound like Donald Trump, but I'm hoping for a miracle. I'm hoping that Easter weekend will bring a miracle of some sort and that we can see the end of this virus sooner rather than later. All of you, please take care and stay safe until we meet again. God bless.